Please be seated. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. To Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 through 21. That's on page 977 in the Bibles provided for you. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 on page 977. When the Spirit falls upon people or rushes on people in Scripture, He gives them power and abilities to do things that they couldn't do before. He's a Spirit of power. And here for this week and the next couple of weeks, we're going to start looking at this enabling, equipping, gifting work of the Spirit. And the foundation of that is this idea of power and strength, that the Spirit is one who gives power. And so we're going to start with that here this week. So as I read here, Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And what is he praying that the Ephesians would have the power to do? What is it that he wants them to have strength to do? Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. We'll be focused on 14 through 19, but we're going to read through verse 21. This is the word of God. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. What does power from the Holy Spirit look like? My kids have enjoyed some of the episodes of the show Superbook, which is a show where kids go back in time and get to live through Bible stories and get to experience those things firsthand. And in that show, especially in the stories from Acts, when someone's about to do a miracle and the Spirit is coming upon them, they start glowing. They literally have this glow on them, and they do this miracle. That's what the picture of the power of the Holy Spirit. Or if you look back in the Old Testament, and like in the account of Samson that we read earlier, Samson, the Spirit rushed on Samson, and the next thing you know, he's picking up the gates of cities, or he's busting the ropes that tied him, or he's knocking over pillars and knocking over whole buildings. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Or closer to our own time in history, maybe you think of those who claim today to have great power of the Holy Spirit, and you can think of the faith healers that fill the arenas to come see them heal people, and they claim to have this great power, and they'll swing their arm across a whole group of people, and dozens of people will fall over and be slain in the Spirit because of this great power of the Holy Spirit that they have. Now, friends, it's true that the Spirit has demonstrated himself in amazing, visible, outward ways in history, particularly in the times of Scripture, the times when Scripture was being inspired and was being established. But friends, if we limit our idea of the power of the Holy Spirit to these kind of outward things, we are missing the strengthening that the Spirit does far more often, that the Spirit does for God's people in our everyday life. And when you think of the power of the Holy Spirit as that great, miraculous, outward kind of power, you may be tempted to start thinking that God has just left you to function on your own power, that you have to just get through life and do what he's called you to do by your own strength and your own power, because you don't have that kind of miraculous outward power that you see in some of these accounts in Scripture. But friends, you have not been left to do these things by your own power. We see this in our passage here this morning. What does the power of the Spirit look like that Paul is talking about here? He's concerned about the Ephesians the Ephesians losing heart. They know that he's suffering and in prison, and they're experiencing their own persecution, and he doesn't want them to lose heart in those circumstances. And his prayer is that they would be strengthened with power by God's Spirit in their inner being. In their inner being. And friends, I hope you'll see here that you need power from the Holy Spirit. You do not have the strength in yourself to carry on. You do not have the strength in yourself to do what God has called you to do. But the Spirit is a spirit of great power. And he does strengthen you. He strengthens God's people for every day, for the everyday tasks that he has called you to do. And that power may not look exactly like what you might have thought power looks like, but God's word here reminds you that you are greatly in need of that strengthening. And so as you grasp what this inner power from the Spirit really looks like here this morning, brothers and sisters, ask the Father to strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Just as Paul does here in this passage, ask the Father to strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Now, as I've been saying, the picture of power in our minds may not look much like what Scripture says here. And so we're going to look at three truths about this power, about the strengthening that the Spirit does in this passage to help us know what we're supposed to be praying for here. And the first truth that we see here is that the Spirit strengthens your inner being. The Spirit strengthens your inner being. What kind of strength and power is Paul praying for here? Look at verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. What does that mean? What does he mean by your inner being? Well, he uses the same word inner in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, where he says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I think that helps us make a little more sense of this idea of the inner self or inner being. The idea is that we have our outer self, our physical selves, our bodies that are wasting away, that are breaking down. We age and we suffer in this world. They do break down over time. But our inner self, our souls, or our spirits are renewed and strengthened. And it's strengthening in this inner person that Paul is emphasizing here in this passage this morning. There is a great temptation to lose heart when you are physically weak. In fact, both of these passages, 2 Corinthians 4 and Ephesians 3, are talking about not losing heart. Because we understand, we experience this pain and this weakness and suffering in this world, and it's tempting to be discouraged by that. And the solution then is that our inner selves would be strengthened. Not necessarily that our outer selves would be strengthened. But Paul's solution here is that the Spirit, he prays that the Spirit would strengthen our souls, strengthen our spirits. And that's because our inner strength is a greater priority at this stage. Inner strength is of greater importance than bodily strength. Inner strength is a greater priority. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, "Train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Bodily training is of some value. It's good to take care of your body. But training in godliness has eternal value because this body is going to break down. And so to bring this to what we're talking about here, outer bodily strength is of some value, but inner strength, inner power, is of greater value and of more lasting value because it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Our spiritual strength should be a greater priority to us because we know that our bodies are breaking down, and spiritual strength should have greater importance in our hearts and minds. But friends, it's more than just that our bodies are breaking down. It's more than just that our souls are longer lasting, in a sense, than these bodies that will have to be resurrected later. It's more than that. This truth is also related to the fact that we're walking in the footsteps of Christ. That you and I need inner strength right now because we're following Christ in his trajectory. I talk about this often, that we follow Jesus in the path of humiliation before exaltation, in the path of weakness before power, and the path of death before resurrection. That's the trajectory of the Christian life, as he's called us to follow him and to take up our crosses and follow him. And this means that while we're working in this world, we are following Jesus' example of his work while he was on this earth in his state of humiliation, where he did not have great physical power or great military power, a great power to overwhelm people physically. He had a different kind of power. In John chapter 18, Verse 36, when Jesus is on trial before Pilate, he tells Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world." Peter tried briefly, but Jesus' disciples were not fighting, literally, with swords. They were not staging an insurrection, because that was not how Jesus' kingdom came the first time. Jesus' kingdom comes with weapons that are not weapons of the flesh, that physical outward power is not our priority at this stage in following Christ in Christ's footsteps. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." We are waging a spiritual war, so we need spiritual strength. So this doesn't mean that we don't need a civil government. It doesn't mean that we don't need soldiers who we don't need a civil government that uses the sword to enforce what is good and right, that wages just war, and that protects life. Those kinds of things are true. But it means that we do not win allegiance to Christ by force at this stage in redemptive history. Following in Jesus' footsteps of that humiliation and weakness physically, weakness militarily, we win people through argument, through reason, through the preaching of the gospel, not through weapons of the flesh, but weapons of divine power that destroy strongholds. Think of Jesus himself in the garden just before he went to the cross. In Luke 22:43, it tells us in that moment of darkness before he was betrayed, it says that there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. An angel from heaven strengthening him in the garden. And what did Jesus look like after he was strengthened? Did he look like Samson ready to beat down the Philistines? No. He still looked physically weak. He was still taken captive. But he had the inner strength to undergo the cup that the Lord had given him. He had greater inner strength to be able to suffer and to be weak, but still serve the Lord and be faithful to him. Friends, our focus should be on that inner strength, just like Christ in whose footsteps we're walking. If we're focused too much on outer strength, if we're focused on health and wealth and prosperity, or on military power, we're like someone who can't get a messy job done because they're too busy washing their hands the whole time. Maybe you've done this yourself, or you know someone who's doing a dirty job, and they can't get the job done because they keep having to go clean up, and they don't like having their hands covered in grime. Now, the difference between that person and a person who gets the job done is the person who gets the job done knows they're going to wash their hands at the end of the job, but this is just the nature of the job that we're doing right now. It's not that you want to have grimy hands. It's that you know at the end of it all, you know that the time to wash your hands is not until the end of it, or else you're not going to get the job done. Friends, it's not that our physical health doesn't matter to the Lord. It's not that physical power and strength doesn't matter to the Lord. It's just the job that we are doing right now that Christ has called us to do in following his example, involves being weak. It involves suffering. And we know that there's a time coming when we will receive that perfect health and strength and wealth and prosperity. Our inheritance is guaranteed for us. But for now, our priority is not outward health and wealth and prosperity. Our priority is inner strength, spiritual strength. Friends, this truth is one more reason not to listen to health and wealth preaching. To these preachers, so many of them on your TV today, not just because of the way that they're enriching themselves, but because they are calling you to pour your energy and all your heart and all your faith and belief into God blessing you physically here and now. To pour your prayers out to the Lord, to give me wealth, give me health, give me prosperity right here now. When your prayers can be for those things, you could pray for the Lord to relieve physical difficulty and financial difficulty, but our greater priority, we should be pouring our hearts out for spiritual strength and for what we need in our inner selves, in our inner being. Ask the Spirit for that inner strength, that strength that Jesus needed when he was on earth, and the spiritual energy and fortitude that perseveres in hardship. Think about how we pray as a congregation. I'm so glad we pray for our physical needs. We should do that. We pray for those who are ailing, those who are in the hospital, those who are dealing with struggles that way, for financial needs. But friends, those should not be the only things we pray for. We should be praying for spiritual strength. Think about how you pray in your own life when you face struggles. Maybe you've reached a point where you're in deep suffering, you're in deep difficulty, and you get to that point where you say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. What's the next thing that comes out of your mouth to the Lord? Do you pray, Lord, take this away? Lord, make this better? That's a good thing to pray. But do you ever pray, Lord, make me stronger? Lord, give me the spiritual strength to endure. Because his answer to your prayer, when you cry out to him, may be just like his answer to Christ. When Christ said, if it's possible, let this cup be taken from me. And instead, the Lord strengthened him so that he was able to drink the cup. Do we pray that way for ourselves? It's not a very fun prayer to make. But ask the Lord, cry out to him, for ask the Spirit who is within you to give you that strength to endure, to give you the help to endure. Now, later in this passage, a couple verses later, Paul goes on to say what it is that we need strength for, that he wants them to have strength for, and it may not be what you expect. We see, secondly, that the Spirit strengthens you to know God deeply. The Spirit strengthens you to know God deeply. What do we need strength for here? Look at verse 18. He prays that they'll be strengthened, that they may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. He wants them to have strength to comprehend, strength to understand something. We need strength to be able to for our minds to grab onto something. And this word for comprehend is not just your regular word for knowing something. It's a word that often means to seize or to grab onto, literally, to grab onto something, or to chase something down, to overtake something. And I think both of those pictures are helpful as we think about the need for strength to comprehend something. You can think of a time when you're trying to hold on to something and you're not quite strong enough to grab onto it and really hold it, or it's too slippery. You don't have the strength to hold on to it. And sometimes ideas feel like that. There's a big, heavy, weighty idea that someone's trying to communicate to you, and you're trying to grab onto it, and you can't. And you feel like, I don't have the strength to really grasp what's going on here. Or you're trying to chase something down. If it's too fast for you, it's just going to go, and you're not going to be able to catch up to it. It's only to get further away. And maybe sometimes an idea feels like that. Someone's trying to explain a truth from the Bible to you, and it's just like a car zooming past you, and you say, there it goes. I don't know what's going on. I can't grasp this. And so what Paul is saying here is that the Spirit would give you strength to grasp those things, to overtake those things, to chase down those things, and to understand them, because we couldn't do it without the Spirit's help. Paul is saying that the truth that we really need to understand that he's going to talk about here is going to be like that. It's going to be beyond our comprehension. It's not something we're going to be able to grasp by ourselves. And so what is it that we're not able to comprehend by ourselves? That we would comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. But he doesn't say of what. It's something broad, it's long and high and deep, but he doesn't say what. Some people associate it with the love of Christ in the next phrase, but that's grammatically is a separate thing. We're going to get to that in the next point. He doesn't say what this broad and long and high and deep thing is, but we get a clue in the book of Job. In Job 11, verses 5 through 9, Zophar the Naamathite is speaking to Job, one of Job's friends. They often get things wrong, but some things they get right. And Zophar is speaking to Job, and he says, but oh, that God would speak and open his lips to you, and that he would tell you the secrets of wisdom, for he is manifold in understanding. Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? It is higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. So what is it that is high and deep and long and broad here in Job? It's the deep things of God, he says. It's the limit of the Almighty, the limit of God himself. It's to know God himself that Paul is talking about here. How could we ever comprehend the deep things of God without God himself helping us understand him? Friends, that's the good news of the Holy Spirit. That this God who is so mighty, who is so beyond us, has come to dwell in us, to help us comprehend himself, to help us grasp him, to understand him, to know God with, and to know God with an increasing depth. to know him more and more about him, and to understand things about him that you didn't used to understand as you grow and grow in your understanding of him. And friends, Paul, by highlighting this in this passage in particular, he's telling us that you need to know more of the length and breadth and height and depth of God and of his wisdom so that you will not lose heart. That we need to grow in our knowledge of God and to have a deeper understanding of him if we're not going to lose heart in the difficulties of this life. And we need the Spirit to strengthen us to do that. That it would be beyond us without him. Do you ever feel like theological concepts are beyond you? Somebody's talking about God. Someone's talking about a concept in Scripture. Maybe I'm preaching and you're listening and you just think, I have no idea what he's talking about. And it's just going right past you. And you think, I'm just not that bright. It's just, I can't figure these things out. That's beyond me. I'm just going to content myself with the simple things that I can understand. But friends, the truth is, it's beyond all of us. It's not a matter of intellect. It's not a matter of intelligence. Richard Dawkins, a great atheist author, is brilliant. He does not understand the deep things of God. Friends, this is knowledge that is only understood by the Spirit. We need his strength. And so when you experience that and you say, I don't get what they're talking about, maybe you're in Bible study or in Sabbath school, you're talking to somebody, you don't get what's going on, don't just throw up your hands and give up. Ask the Spirit to help you. Ask him to help you to understand these deep things. Don't be content with a cursory knowledge of God. We can be such practical people and say, well, don't give me all that theoretical stuff, just tell me what to do. I can have the baseline knowledge, just tell me what to do. And we should have a desire for knowledge of God, for knowing's sake, just for knowing God, because he is God. But I hope you see that this is a practical thing. You need to know the deep things of God if you're gonna be able to persevere in these hard times. As we've been talking about this morning in the adult class, you have to have a grasp of God's faithfulness to carry you through when you question his faithfulness, when circumstances are difficult in your life. Friends, don't be content to leave deep theology to the PhDs or to the seminary students. It's been a hallmark of God's people, of Christians, of faithful Christians throughout our history, that we don't leave the deep thinking to the experts. That we all try to plumb the depths of who God is and what he has taught us. He says, along with all the saints here. So again, if you hear some theological concepts that are beyond you, don't close the book. Don't give up. Don't just shut down. Try to engage in these things and ask the Spirit to help you to know what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, despite this emphasis on learning and on grasping deep truths, Paul goes on to talk about something beyond our understanding. And so we see here that we need strength for more than just this understanding. Thirdly, the Spirit strengthens you to trust Christ's love. The Spirit strengthens you to trust Christ's love. Verse 19 here sounds like a contradiction. He's praying that they would be strengthened to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. To know something that can't be known or that surpasses knowledge. So to know something when our knowledge fails us. We see the same idea of something that surpasses knowledge in Philippians 4, verse 7. Paul has been encouraging them when they're anxious not to remain anxious, but to pray. Cast those cares before the Lord, to lift those up to him in prayer. And then he tells them, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That when you can't understand, when you're anxious about something, and you can't see how this is going to work out well, you will be given a peace that surpasses understanding. A peace that doesn't come from getting it. A peace that doesn't come from being able to wrap your head around it, but a peace from knowing the Lord and trusting him. That's what Paul is talking about here, knowing the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul doesn't want the Ephesians to lose heart, and he knows that what they need in that time, we've seen that they already need a deep knowledge of God not to lose heart, but he also knows they need something that surpasses that understanding, because the understanding will only get them so far. And what is it that surpasses understanding? It's the love of Christ. The love of Christ that surpasses understanding. Or if you go back a couple verses, he wants their hearts to be rooted and grounded in love. The love of Christ is the thing that their roots are sunk down deep into, that they're founded on, So that when those winds and waves of life come and the floods come, we have a foundation so that we are not knocked off base. So that we have a foundation when we can't understand what's going on around us. Friends, in other words, you need to understand and know the love of Jesus in a way that carries you through when you don't understand. When life doesn't make sense. When the events in your life don't seem to match what you think and what you believe. And so I'm not advocating a blind faith here, not advocating an unreasonable faith. But the reality is that you will not always understand your circumstances. And there are truths about God you will not be able to grasp. Are you able to survive things that are beyond your knowledge? Can you function recognizing there are some things you can't understand and that are beyond you? Friends, there are parts of our faith that are beyond our understanding. We know that. The doctrine of the Trinity, we can't put together in our minds that there are three persons and one God. We can't put together Jesus being fully God and fully human. And I think there's a sense in which our understanding of our circumstances can be like that. You look at your life and you say, this doesn't make sense. I don't see how God loves me and this is happening in my life right now. I don't see how this is working out for good right now. But Paul is saying we need to have a knowledge of a foundational knowledge of Jesus' love that will carry us through those moments. The Spirit strengthens you to trust Jesus' love. In Romans 8:32, we get a wonderful glimpse of this kind of trust. And he says, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? But if you know that Jesus gave himself up for you. And we know that. It's eyewitness testimony. The Spirit has affirmed it in our hearts. We know that much. If you know that, how much more will he give us all good things? Even when we don't experience it right now, in the moment. Knowing Jesus' love is the foundation. It's where we're rooted and grounded. And when our understanding can't make sense of what's going on in our lives. Maybe you've had the experience of hearing that a good friend has done something totally out of character. Maybe something that hurts you, even. And if you know that person well, and if you really trust that person, you may have the fortitude to say, well, that doesn't sound like him. I'm going to wait and find out what really happened. Because I'm pretty sure that's not really what happened, because that's not what it sounds like. But your mind can also start sometimes running through scenarios and start to doubt and question so much of what you know of this person, especially when you're by yourself. Your mind just starts running on these scenarios and these things of what really happened when you've heard this report. But friends, Jesus hasn't left you alone to wonder. He's given you his Spirit to affirm in your heart in a way that is beyond understanding that he loves you. That he is trustworthy, even when it doesn't look like it. Even when we have trouble seeing how it's true, that Jesus loves us and is trustworthy. The Spirit strengthens your heart to trust him. And so we need to pray for that. Are you rooted and grounded in love? Do you have the strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? Maybe you find yourself easily shaken by circumstances. You're able to praise God on good days. You say, God is good because today is good. But then along comes a bad day. Are you shaken by that? Do you start to doubt and question God? Are you constantly tossed around by these waves of struggle in your life? Or do you have that foundation of love, of knowing Christ's love? If you find yourself in that circle, in being like that, don't try to just muster up some greater faith or strength in yourself. Ask the Spirit to help you. It takes strength. It takes strength to trust Jesus in those moments, and he will give you strength if you ask him for it. Ask him to give you that strength to trust Jesus' love. Or maybe you generally feel pretty solid and rooted in your relationship with God, but only because you can make sense of what's going on. Because you've always been able to make sense of what's going on. You have a theology that all makes logical sense to you, and you have an interpretation of the events in your life that all makes logical sense to you, and that's why you're feeling secure. And friends, I'm glad that you could see some of the logical ways that God deals with us. But if that's your foundation, if you're rooted and grounded in your own understanding, that is not a secure place to be. And I can tell you from personal experience that if that is your foundation, you can be so shaken when circumstances suddenly are not ones that you can make sense of. That our logic and our understanding is not our foundation. We are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, and it's the Spirit who gives us the strength to be able to be rooted and grounded in that way. Friends, there is great power in the Holy Spirit. There's great strength in the Holy Spirit. Strength to comprehend the length and breadth and height and depth of God Himself. Strength to trust Jesus' love even when things are completely beyond our comprehension. And all of this is by His grace. All of this is because He has given it to us. It's been granted to us, as Paul says here. It is a gift from God through our Savior Jesus that we did not deserve. So whether you are spiritually, whether you have no spiritual strength, and you're feeling empty and you're feeling tossed around by doubts and struggles, or you've already been blessed and experienced much of this power from God, none of us have done this by ourselves, and none of us are there yet. All of us need to cry out for God for more of this grace, more of this strength to comprehend, and more of this strength to trust. So ask Him for it. Pray for it for yourself. Pray for it for others. Pray for it for the people you love around you. That we would have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to You admitting our weakness. How hard it is to comprehend You, to comprehend Your works. And how hard it is to trust when we don't comprehend. But Lord, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. And we pray along with our brother Paul that You would strengthen us. You would strengthen our loved ones. You would strengthen our brothers and sisters around the world. That You would strengthen our neighbors with this power from the Holy Spirit, so that we might comprehend, so that we might trust, might know this love of Christ. Lord, build us up mightily by the work of Your Spirit, and fill us with power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.